But first up to the world of TV and web series, and to get us there, a clip from the six-part drama comedy that's just launched on iView about family, adult children, and calling Adelaide home. There's some strong language ahead, including in the title of the web series, but I'm going to self-censor myself for that. The show is called Effing Adelaide.
I'm selling the house.
What?
For how much?
You're not selling the house, Mum.
Yes, I am.
But where are we going to live?
Get a good price on this house, Mum.
But you're selling our home. Could you at least include me in on the conversation?
Include you? You left this shithole 18 years ago.
Hey, well, it's still my shithole. Stop calling it a shithole.
Poor Adelaide. A clip from, as I mentioned, the ABC iView web series Effing Adelaide, which is part of a new generation of platform-agnostic small-screen series. Now, in the US, we've seen shows like High Maintenance and Broad City begin as web series and then make it to television. Well, the Australian Academy of Cinema and Television Arts, ACTA, are looking to encourage new talent in this area, and they've launched an initiative to unearth new scripted series for the web and also television. It's a national pitching competition called ACTA Pitch. Joining me now are two very well-qualified screen professionals on the judging panel, Shay Spencer from Jungle Productions, and via Skype from LA, Mike Cowop, who's senior producer of Scripted and Unscripted at Princess Pictures. He's also the guy who greenlit Effing Adelaide, who he was working for Screen Australia up until a few months ago. Welcome to the Hub on Screen, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, the call out is for web or TV series. Now, first of all, what is the difference these days? I mean, are these interchangeable terms? Is one still the kind of smaller sibling of the other? Shay, what's your opinion on the difference between web and TV series these days?
I think, yeah, they're absolutely. You've seen in the US some kind of feed one another, but I think absolutely things can stand alone as a web series and grow into television. But yeah, they're still distinct to my mind, but I suppose that crossover is happening more and more.
Is the crossover something that is ideal, I guess, for from the point of view of the film, well, the film and TV makers, you know, they eventually sort of want to, is it a question of wanting to graduate to TV?
Sure, why not? I think that creators obviously want to build a career for themselves. So starting with a web series might be a way to get something financed or to really kind of be proactive and get something off the ground that way. And then at the same time, you are building an audience for your content. And if it does really well, then it can start, you know, getting noticed by some of the more traditional platforms.
And people with deeper pockets. Yeah, go on, Mike. Yeah, I mean,
there's a wave of Australian creators who are doing incredibly well online and reaching the most enormous audiences, staggering numbers that really they couldn't be doing on traditional television. So for some of them, it would be a step backwards almost to be working on traditional television. Wenji, for example, she's got 10 million subscribers, which, to put in perspective, is more than the population of Sweden. So every time she drops a new video, it's reaching, on average, at least sort of 5 million viewers, which there are very few television services could rival. So it's not only a springboard to a career in television, but actually can be a very viable medium in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, is it more difficult to monetize, though? I mean, if you're making web content and you're making, say, a six-part web series, it's not as lucrative, is it, as selling a six-part, you know, mini-series to a broadcaster, be that sort of a pay TV broadcaster or a free-to-air broadcaster?
Well, there's a reason why a lot of these young filmmakers now who are making online content are also fantastic entrepreneurs. I mean, you can make money out of online content, but it tends to be a smaller amount from a range of sources as opposed to the one-off paycheck of working with an ABC or an Amazon or a Netflix. And it can involve things like, you know, for the catering show, for those girls, the two Kates who made it, what an incredibly powerful advertising campaign for their live show that excellent series made. So, I mean, it might be one step removed. People are not paying them for the episodes per se, but it's a very powerful way to sell their audience other things after the fact.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that people are kind of bouncing their output off different platforms, really, and leveraging them, I suppose, against each other.
Absolutely, as they should. And I think it comes down to the creator's vision as to what they're wanting to do with the kind of, you know, the kind of filmmaker they are, the kind of audience they want to reach. So I suppose this is, you know, another avenue to reach a particular audience.
There's some really exciting and successful work being produced here, isn't there, by Australians. And at an international level, I'm thinking of director Luke Eve, who's been travelling the world for years collecting awards for his black comedy web series about depression, this High Life.
Yeah.
Which ended up making it to, Channel 9 bought it and put it up online as video on demand. And Low Life, he's an Aussie based in LA at the moment. Then there's Jade of Death, which is this supernatural themed web series by Erin Good and Taylor Lytton Strain. These are also Australians based in the US. They're on their second series now and they've won a stack of awards. More close to home, we've got a show called 600 Bottles of Wine, well, a show, a web series that was picked up by the BBC, and it's going to be picked up by Ten's linear channel as well. But why have we got this explosion? I mean, is it down to the availability of technology? What is it about this explosion of talent that we have at the moment, Mike?
I think it's two things. I mean, firstly, I think we have to give some credit to Screen Australia, our federal funding agency. It's a really visionary agency that understands that our new wave of Australian filmmakers are working online and demonstrating that they can tell stories and can find audiences. So they're putting their money where their mouth is and supporting them. They supported Jade of Death. They supported High Life. Even though these things didn't have an apparent revenue model, it was all about career building. I think the other thing is just the for filmmakers these days, they don't need to wait around for permission to make stuff. You know, the barrier to entry, what with the cheaper equipment and most importantly, I think the means of distribution, the ability to upload your content to YouTube or to Facebook and to be able to be, you know, on devices globally is just the most incredible leveling opportunity whereby it's much more about talent and a can-do attitude, just getting out there, than it is about sitting and waiting for permission as it has been in the past.
On the Hub on Screen, my name is Jason DeRosso and I'm talking to two very qualified screen professionals about web series and TV. They are on the judging panel of a new initiative, a national pitching competition called Actor Pitch. Mike Cowop is on Skype from LA. He's from Princess Pictures and Shay Spencer is with me in the studio from Jungle. Let's just talk briefly about some of the details about Actor Pitch. Now, first of all, when is the deadline for pitching your ideas and what do you get if you win?
The deadline to get your application in is July 20. And in terms of, you know, winning prizes, there's a range of things from a $5,000 cash prize, feedback and mentorship opportunities from Actor, post-production support from Spectrum's Films to the value of $5,000, and tickets to the Actor Awards.
Mike, is this competition a kind of stopgap for people who may not be at a point where they're ready to approach sort of broadcasters or feel confident, you know, to approach broadcasters or even Screen Australia, but have ideas that are in a kind of rough diamond form and just need them polished up a bit before actually going on to that next level of approaching a broadcaster or actually getting something made? Is that the idea behind it?
Look, I think it's a great thing that Actor are doing here. It's really providing a springboard to those creators, in my mind, who have proven that they can tell a story. They're probably already actively making content. These aren't absolute beginners. And they've probably proven to some degree that they can find an audience for what they're making. But it's incredibly difficult to then make that leap to doing longer content, more ambitious content, working with bigger budgets. So I think what this does is give them an opportunity to get some input from industry professionals and some hard cash to try and grow their skill set to be able to evidence to people with money, to broadcasters and the like, that they're ready for the task.
All right, let's move on to TV, just the sort of rung above, really, in terms of perhaps skills base, but also just in terms of budget. And I want to talk about the company you work for, Shay. The production company is Jungle, and they've been a real Australian success story. They're relatively new, and they earned a lot of merit in a short time. They made a very quirky, almost Seinfeld-esque police comedy called No Activity, which was the first original series picked up by Stan locally, the pay TV provider. Let's hear a clip from that show. This is Patrick Bramall.
So do you you flew over business or economy or coach from the States, America? You know, in those long-haul flights, they put a very mild constipating agent in the food, you know, just Just it reduces bowel movements. It's called corking the food. You cork the chicken pasta and cork the... Because otherwise you've got 300 people at 40,000 feet. You know, think about it. It's going to become a real poo fest. And, you know, then you got turds on a plane.
The things cops say in cars when they're staking out. I guess I've raised No Activity because it was remade in the States with Will Ferrell, and Patrick Bramall actually went on to star in it. But Mike, I know you've worked, you work for a company that's handled Chris Lilley, who's also had a success in crossing over to the States. Tell me about this. Are film and TV makers, or, you know, series makers, always got one eye on the lucrative, you know, American market at the moment? And if so, what danger is there that they kind of tailor what they're making to that international audience and maybe tone down the specificity of the Australian voice? What do you think?
In my experience, what appeals to them about Australian creators is that they do bring a unique voice that American audiences haven't necessarily seen before. I know Laura Waters, my boss, who's currently producing the new Chris Lilley show, whilst I can't say too much about it, it's with Netflix, and I believe there has been, I mean, they're encouraging his vision and they want to work with him because of his kind of uniqueness, and that's the appeal.
Shay, would you agree when it comes to Australian creatives, are, my question is, are they almost self-censoring themselves in an effort to kind of attract American interest, or is it the opposite?
I wouldn't quite put it in that way, I don't think, because you can't deny your own experience and your own point of view. And I think, as Mike said, some of the specificity and our point of view is the thing that makes it feel fresh to the US market and the thing that sets it apart. So I don't know that I would put it quite in those words, but obviously there has been loads of success of Australian creatives and filmmakers going over and having international success.
But I often find talking to filmmakers that they're less concerned about those kinds of ideas of national identity in that more rigid way anyway. I find that they've got quite a fluid sense of how their work flows around the world.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you just want it to connect with an audience, and whether that audience is, you know, locally or internationally, I think that will be what it will be. Yeah. But I think there's without a doubt, there is obviously now more than ever a real interest in the US because there seems to be many more of our projects being picked up. And I think that's from, you know, the increase in streaming platforms that have the finances to be able to do that and the modelling behind it to reach a broader audience.
All right. Well, we've got to wrap up, unfortunately, but who knows? We may see the next big web series hit come directly out of this new initiative called Actor Pitch. We'll put some details up on the Hub on Screen website if you're interested in pitching your idea. But thanks both of you for joining me to discuss it on the Hub on Screen this morning.
Pleasure, thanks.
Absolute pleasure.
That was Shay Spencer, Development Manager of Drama at Jungle Productions, and Mike Cowop, Senior Producer at Princess Pictures, talking to me about Actor's recently announced pitching competition for TV or web series. If you have an idea, now's the time to start working on it and get your entry in. Entries close July 20. Head to actor.org for all the details.